Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Movie Mondays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
Well, Connor, a truck just went past my house, so I feel I may have ruined the intro.
I lied during the intro. He's not my best pal.
Oh, I had a good 5 seconds there where I was someone's best pal.
We'll go for next week.
Look, next Monday, it'll come around again. Yeah. Then it'll be back in the good books. It'll be class.
You'll get another shot. But Sean, it was a pretty sad weekend.
True.
And I want to touch on that before we get into any movie news. And that is the fact that the Batman voice actor Kevin Conroy passed away. I want to get into this before we get into anything else, because I have to be honest with you, Sean, this man pretty much shaped my whole love of all comic books and all superheroes. So, pretty big deal, and I learned 30 seconds before we started recording Hero Zero on Friday.
Yeah, that was a bit of a shock, and then we talked about the orb for half an hour, so I am sorry about that.
Somebody turns up in a clown costume to a funeral.
Yeah, it's not the right tone, I'll be honest. You are like the biggest Batman the Animated Series fan that I know or ever will know, I'm assuming. Mm. So I can only imagine that, like, it would affect you even a little bit.
Man, it was a tough time. So, like, the thing about this is like, you have these people. He's like 66, so I was like, you don't even think about it. I'm like, that's Batman. He's going to be Batman for like another 30 years. He's going to be doing Batman nonstop. But now the episode Beware of the Grey Ghost in the animated series is going to hit a lot harder because Adam West and him are both in it. Now they're both passed away. So it's a really, really sad time. But yeah, look. The thing about that is he's played Batman for 30 years, over 30 years, since 92. So, actually, 30 years this year.
30 years, yeah.
The start of it. And I just think that he had such a great career. I'm pretty sure I don't want to reveal too much here because I think I have a little special plan for Friday.
Oh, there's something planned.
I have something planned, but I just wanted to give a shout out because Kevin Conroy, I mean, an amazing human being and someone that... I mean, I don't think without him, I don't think we're doing this show because I don't know if I'm that into stuff like this.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Like, he's probably a very large part of why we're friends at the back of it all.
Like, I watched Batman the Animated Series, then Justice League, then Batman Beyond, and then from there, all everything else. Like, that is the natural progression, and he's in all of them.
Yeah, and so it's... I don't often get hit with, like, celebrity deaths and things like that. This one did sting a bit.
Yeah, see, normally I would never talk about this, but it's like, it's just something that is so probably personal to me that I really wanted to bring it up, but I wanted to let everyone know that, like, he was a great man. And so just everyone keep his family in your thoughts, because absolutely lovely. What a cool man.
And also just a good dude. Like, just a really nice human being.
I met him at Comic-Con. Like, the nicest man. He stayed for like 45 minutes afterwards just chatting to people in the hallway. Just randomers coming up to talk to him. And I was like, you're Batman. You don't need to do this. Go
he
home.
Does it because he's Batman, Connor.
It's because he's Batman. Oh, man. Yeah, so I really wanted to talk about that. I was very sad over the weekend, Sean, as you can imagine. I was, first time ever, I was like, oh, man, this has impacted me. I feeling emotions.
First time you've ever had an emotion.
I've never had emotions, Sean. Never in my life. So this was
one
time. But yeah, I wanted to start off this Movie Mondays with this, a special little recognition. But we can get into our regularly scheduled programming from now on.
Yeah.
And I mean, what I really wanted to start off with this week is some pretty big... It feels weird, by the way, to like try to segue out of that. But
no,
I think
absolutely.
If we bring attention to the fact that it's weird to segue out of that, it hopefully saves us.
In Hollywood, it's called hanging a lantern on it. You just point out that something's fucking weird, and then the audience is on board.
There's no easy way to move on from here. So what we're going to do is we're just going to pretend like the first few minutes haven't happened. We're just going to start Movie Monday, Sean. We're talking movie news, entertainment news, and just generally all the stuff about that. So we're going to start off this week with some pretty good news, I thought, for you. And that is Indiana Jones 5. You were saying you were looking forward to Indiana Jones 5.
The fucking stones on you to follow up the first story with this story.
I really wanted something that wasn't serious.
Oh no, I'm ripping the piss out of this movie. Okay, here we go.
Indiana Jones 5 test screening, Sean. They have gone down and apparently have been disastrous.
Ha ha, good. Learn your lesson.
So, a lot of people won't remember, but Indiana Jones met aliens at the end of Indiana Jones 4. That was a pretty big deal.
But they weren't
deal.
Necessarily aliens, Connor. They were from the space between spaces.
Sorry. And also, he survived a nuclear blast by hiding in a fridge.
That's true. Also, Shia LaBeouf was his son.
His son was like, he had a leather jacket. That was when Shia was coming in big.
I think he was his son. I think he was his son in that movie.
I went to see that in the cinema.
Me too. Me and my brother left school early to see it.
And did you regret it, or was it a good idea?
Well, I left school early, Connor, so I was happy.
I haven't spoken to my brother since. That was the time that split us apart. And so look, normally with test screenings, they show them to, look, a handful of different people. A lot of very nice people get to see it. And James Mangold is directing Indiana Jones 5, Sean, in case you forgot. James Mangold from Logan fame.
The very good movie Logan.
The very good movie Logan. So he's a very talented director.
About an older man getting back in the game, you say?
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And so, pretty good casting, I would say, in terms of a director. I think, like, pretty good hire job. But they have played the movie to the test screening audience, and apparently they've all tested negatively. They tested a handful of different endings, and audience haven't liked any of the endings that they've shown them.
I wonder what is the difference, because this is going to be like a Jason Todd scenario. There's two endings in this movie. One of them, Indiana Jones is alive. And the other one, Indiana Jones, is no longer alive.
Well, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is also in the movie. So it's pretty locked in that one of the endings, I can only guess, through basic logic, is she takes over the mantle of Indiana Jones.
How do you fumble the bag this hard when you have James Mangold directing and Phoebe Waller-Bridge in a starring role?
And Harrison Ford.
A Harrison Ford, who to his credit will put bums in seats.
He will. I mean, so, look, this would pretty much... I think one of the endings that they played was Phoebe Waller-Bridge replacing Harrison Ford. This, of course, would set up the franchise for further sequels, with Ford not returning and Phoebe Waller-Bridge taking over. People did not like that idea.
Is that because they don't necessarily like Phoebe Waller-Bridge as the Indiana Jones character, or they just don't want more Indiana Jones films?
Oh, see, now that's a, I think that's a very deep question. I think it might mostly be because Phoebe Waller-Bridge does not have a penis.
Right, okay.
We're going to break it down to the most basic level.
You know, it's the specific complaints that I love the most in Hollywood.
Look, I think we're all like kind of skipping around it, but it's like, yeah, just we don't want the Mary Sue. This is woke Hollywood, Sean. They're replacing Indiana Jones with women. What's this?
Indiana Jones is the biggest Mary Sue that has ever been in cinema.
The man survives every scenario, and he's shit.
He's hung over for most of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and he still kills all the Nazis.
He doesn't actively kill anyone. They just always stumble into a fucking helicopter.
He does shoot that man directly in the face.
Okay, that one guy gets shot in the face. Everyone else, he just gets punched until they fall off a building.
He can take a punch. That's the Indiana Jones fighting style. Or, you know, he solves a puzzle and is a good man at the end of Last Crusade.
So what's happened with this is that not only have the test critics gone bad, but simultaneously Disney have announced that they are, well, not announced, but they are pretty heavily, prior to the announcement, that they are setting off on a TV series starring Indiana Jones, or an Indiana Jones series is wanted at Disney Plus.
Right. But I don't think Indiana Jones is as big as, like, I can't be the only person to think this. I don't know what executive looked at the numbers for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and said, we are primed for another one of these in 10 years.
Nobody's, wait, what if he met the aliens again?
Like, where do you go from there, first of all? But also, like, audiences now, if Uncharted didn't work, Indiana Jones isn't going to work, because Uncharted is basically Indiana Jones, the game, the movie.
See, this is, I think this might be the apex of, this is 80s movie that was very big and the star is still around, so you want to do it again. But, like, I don't know if it's, they've already tried it in 2006 or 2007 or whenever it was.
But here's the thing, is that people don't like Indiana Jones. People like sitting down and watching the Indiana Jones films. Does that make sense? Like,
and Harrison Ford is very charismatic. He's a handsome, charismatic guy, and he's cool.
Yeah, like the first three films, they're very good, but they could only be made at the time they were made, and you can't recapture that. And people have a lot of memories associated with watching them for the first time, or with the family at Christmas, and that's what they attach to those movies. Any new one is just different from whatever they already like.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, this is the main problem, is that Harrison Ford, I think he wants to do all these so he can die and so they never bring him back. He'd like, to me, from the outside, that's what it looks like. And to be honest with you, he might probably admit that to you as well.
I think he's fully just going down the list and just checking things off and being like,
how can I kill this person?
So they never
bring me back.
But then he signs up for the MCU and it's like, what the fuck, man?
He's a strange old man, but you know what? He's pretty cool. Have you seen the press tour with him and Ryan Gosling?
Oh, for Blade Runner.
For Blade Runner 2049.
Taking the piss the whole time.
They just do not give a shit. And you know what? I really enjoy it, because I'm just like, they're like, we just did it for money. You know what I mean?
I think I talked about it before, but there was a David Blaine, the magician special one time, and he went to Harrison Ford's house. And he, like, David Blaine just starts, like, putting a needle through his hand or some shit. And Harrison Ford is just like, get the fuck out of my house. I don't want to deal with this.
He doesn't want the trouble.
You don't know. He just wants to be left alone. He wants to crash planes in peace.
So, I mean, Sean, what are your thoughts on it? To be honest with you, this was one of those movies last year that me and you were very up and down. I'll say the same for Dungeons & Dragons, because that cast is so amazing for a movie that we were like, this can't be good. And then everybody who got added was like, this is amazing.
What a great cast. That got delayed as well, didn't it, Dungeons & Dragons?
It got pushed back, because we can't have nice takes.
It's perfectly spot on for a D&D movie to be delayed because of scheduling conflicts.
That's actually true. But also, this, like, we were like, Indiana Jones 5, what, why would they do this? This is a terrible idea. And then Ford's coming back, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is locked in, James Mangold's directed. Yeah. We were like, there's a chance. You're saying there's a chance.
It could possibly not be terrible.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's ever going to be good, is the thing.
No. See, I don't think they were ever getting out of this with a 10 out of 10. Like, they weren't. But then again, we said this about Tom Cruise's Top Gun Maverick.
That's true. That is true. That's fair. But I feel it's different because I think the beauty of getting someone like James Mangold for Logan was that Logan was the end of a story and didn't necessarily have to go anywhere else. Whereas I feel like the studio is now like, okay, and by the end of this movie, these characters need to be in these locations so we can do this TV series and this spin-off film.
I don't think Phoebe Waller-Bridge would sign up to the TV series, mostly because I think she's too smart to realise that series might be terrible.
Yeah. I think she's doing actual, like, art. Like, not the Indiana Jones Disney Plus series.
Like, I think she's like, I don't need to do this. Like, they're probably going to get somebody else. Bring Shia back.
Bring Shia in and just let him be a little greaser again. I don't know, if it's set in the 50s and then it's like aged up, it's probably like 40 now.
40, yeah. But to be fair, that kind of works out. He was, you know, like 32?
Yeah, actually. So it might not be too bad.
Yeah.
But
So Sean, I just wanted to let you know the good positive news, Indiana Jones 5 coming our way. Everyone's very excited. Every test screen that's seen it, every crowd has said 10 out of 10.
Joe, when does April 1st fall in 2023? And I'm giving the game away now because I think we should. Okay, oh no, it's a Saturday. But we can do it on Monday. And I'm just going to be really positive about all the things that you think I'm going to be mad about.
Oh no, my powers.
Oh no.
By the way, oh no, I'm worried about April. The world's on fire, man. We're not making it to April.
Oh, yeah. We'll all go out together. It'll be class.
Joke's on you. We're not making it to April.
Victory for Connor.
We're moving on to our next piece of news. And this is a rumour that normally rumours are fueled by news reports. This rumour has been fueled by James Gunn and Jason Momoa themselves, which kind of gives it a bit more credence that they're definitely going to start promoting this soon. That is Lobo movie rumours fueled by James Gunn and Jason Momoa. I want to know, Lobo is a DC character who, I mean, I've described before as he's a mixture of Deadpool and Wolverine and
the Predator.
Maybe not the Predator, maybe Ghost Rider. Like Ghost Rider, Deadpool, Wolverine, all like squished together.
Right. And they're doing, and Jason Momoa is not going to be Lobo because it's a DC character. So Aquaman? What happens there?
Well,
don't confuse this more, please.
Sean, this is what we're saying. Because, of course, James Gunn has taken over DC with Peter Safran. And they are now currently running DC Studios. This means that they kind of get to do whatever they want to do. James Gunn has shown in the Suicide Squad from last year, he likes the weird DC characters. He likes the ones the studios maybe not... maybe would be a bit afraid to touch.
Yeah.
Polka Dot Man. Ratcatcher 2. All that kind of stuff.
John Cena.
John Cena, the man. But what he's now... what it's also mean is, because he has free reign, Lobo could be pretty much in with a shout if he loves Lobo. And he has come out and said in the past, Lobo's one of his favourite characters. Jason Momoa has come out in the past and said, one of my dreams was always to play Lobo in a movie.
I mean, is this the ringing bell to be like, okay, we're just starting again, and Jason Momoa's Lobo now.
And like, he's like, I don't want to be Aquaman, just leave it alone. So where this came was that Aquaman star Jason Momoa has made some waves by teasing that his dream DC project is now in the works, thanks to James Gunn and Peter Safran taking over the studios. So everyone's like, right, it's an Aquaman movie that he might like, which is good. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, following the tease, then they asked Momoa in a separate interview if there was a connection between Gunn posting an image of Lobo along with Momoa's dream project comments. The actor is said to have acted surprised before following up with, "Well, everyone knows I'm a comic book fan. The comic I collected the most, and I have every comic there is. You can do your research and find out what that is." So,
oh, Jason, what are you doing? You're being very cryptic in your answer there.
Lobo's a character Jason Momoa has previously also campaigned to play in the movie.
Right. So is it a one and done, do you think? Would they do it that way? Where, like a Joker-style movie?
But how do you do a Joker-style movie with an actor that's already playing another character in your weird, fucked-up universe?
Tell me DC aren't the ones to fucking try it, though.
So, like, Lobo would be a very cool character to do, and I think Jason Momoa would be actually perfect casting to play him. But I don't know, like, if they do that, it's fucking mad that they're like, let's just fucking do Jason Momoa. He's already on the lot. He's filming Aquaman 3 at this point, so I mean, he can come over.
I stand by the fact that they need to just start again. Keep some of the same actors if you want, but just make Jason Momoa Lobo now and just have that be it.
But is that not more confusing to people? Because they're like, is that
initially,
not-
yes. But who cares? Chris Evans was Johnny Storm for a while.
True.
People got over that.
But that was like 2004 to 2009. Like, when was Momoa last?
When did Aquaman come out?
has Aquaman 2 come out yet? No.
No. The Trench has not come out. Now, Aquaman did show up at the end of Peacemaker. Spoilers, but who cares?
Yeah.
Did show up at the end of Peacemaker, I guess. So maybe that's the last canonical appearance of Aquaman. But I don't think people care.
Right, I mean, Jeffrey Dean Morgan has also stated that he would like to play Lobo.
Oh, that'd be fucking good though, wouldn't it? Oh, that'd be good. Oh, Jason, I'm sorry. It has to go to Jeffrey.
But I don't know. I think Jason might have the charisma.
Oh, he actually, yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan,
have you seen him in Walking Dead as Negan?
No, I think he has lots of charisma. I don't know if it's the charisma of Lobo.
Wait, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is Thomas Wayne.
Yes.
In that
so
universe.
So he can technically also
so
be...
So it'd be the same recast situation, just
well,
maybe
be,
a little
be
less.
Slightly better because he was only
he
in like one
have
shot.
His own movie.
He didn't have a movie named after him.
That's fair. Just on the subject of casting, I thought of a really good casting for Mephisto this weekend.
Go on, dude.
Timothy Dalton.
Why?
Because he's a shithead. Like his character in Hot Fuzz, but the devil.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be good now?
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah.
Oh, I could see that. No, yeah. They're definitely not going to cast Timothy Dalton.
Not at all. Not at all. It's going to Bryan Cranston. But, or who was the comedy?
I think Bryan Cranston would be great as well.
I think he'd be class. There was some comedy actor rumoured for it, wasn't there?
Hugh Jackman.
We talked about this like 2 weeks ago on the show. Mephisto casting room. I'm taking over this story. I don't care. Mephisto casting rumors. Sacha Baron Cohen might play Mephisto. Isn't that what
Yes,
we,
of
yeah,
course.
Yeah. Anyway,
Sean,
Lobo.
A Lobo movie. Could you see it doing well?
I think it's a way harder sell, though, isn't it, than Aquaman? Like, say way if it is harder. Jason Momoa, it's like you have no name recognition for that character.
But I think you need Jason Momoa dead to sell it. And also, it could be like a Hellboy situation where, like, you just get a big actor to play a weird fucking character.
Could work, actually. That could actually be very, very cool, Connor. James Gunn to direct.
I think James is doing it. If they do a Lobo movie, James Gunn is the only director. He's, like, the perfect director, but now he runs the studio and it's kind of a fucked up situation.
Unless, what if they announced and they got like Guillermo del Toro?
I was thinking thinking that. When I said Hellboy, I was like, fuck
del actually, Toro
that'd could
be,
do it.
That'd be class.
He could fucking do it. He'd be great at it.
Really dark so and nice. Fucked up.
Oh, man, he'd be so fucked up, but he'd be so nice in the interviews. Oh,
he's such a nice man. Do you know that rat that got sent to Margot Robbie?
Yeah.
He adopted it.
Of course he did.
Such a nice man.
Because Jared Leto is the opposite end. They're opposite ends of the spectrum. It's the Leto to Del Toro hang scale.
The Le Del Toro scale.
Le Del Toro scale, yes. Sean, I would say we sit there, maybe wait and see on this, but what I'm hearing is that Lobo could be in the works and Jason Momoa could be playing Lobo because James Gunn likes the character Lobo.
What if they cast The Rock instead?
He's Black Adam.
Nah, but what, like, who cares? You know, just start again. It's done.
Cast Henry Cavill.
That'd be hilarious, actually.
We got him back. He's playing Lobo. We're moving on to our next piece of news, Sean. And I have my first bit of news about a movie that me and you talked about, like, maybe 8 months ago. And we said, that sounds weird. And that was Zack Snyder's very own movie that was like a Star Wars movie. Do you remember talking about this?
I'm going to be honest, Connor. I don't.
The movie was called Rebel Moon. And Zack Snyder said he was going to do his own franchise. And it was going to be Star Wars-esque.
Oh, I do. It's ringing some bells. Not some good ones. But yeah, okay, so an update on Zack Snyder's Star Wars.
It was during when he was doing the promotion for Army of the Dead, and people were like, what's next? He was like, I got my own Star Wars movie lined up, bro, right? And it's going to be fucking good, and Batman's killing in it, right? That's the way it is. But he appeared on a show this week, and he delivered some detailed insight into the direction of Rebel Moon, and we finally got a synopsis for the next biggest thing in sci-fi, Sean. Now, look, I don't want the Snyder Bros to come at me, so I don't want to say anything negative about this. I'm just going to read the synopsis, and I would like you to give your honest opinion as to how this sounds. So, the movie's about a planet, not in our universe. It's a space fantasy, so there's no Earth necessarily, but there's a community on a planet, a farming planet. And there's a bunch of bad guys from other world's armies are in the area. And they need to be fed. So they come to the village. And they ask the village to feed them while they're doing their war in the other, in the galaxy. You know yourself.
I'm familiar.
So they're in a war in the galaxy. And they stop off on this planet. And it's a little village on the planet. And they're like, we want to be fed. We're on our way to a war. Right? And of course, they're not kind about asking, and the result will probably be the obliteration of the village itself. The villagers decide to fight, and so they have to go out into the galaxy and collect warriors to help them fight off the evil army.
Okay. So it's like a ragtag bunch standing up against some kind of, I want to say, imperial force, Connor.
Empire. I would say empire.
An empire is the word.
An empire.
Look, I think it's something we haven't seen before. I think it's inspired. And I think Batman should have a gun in it.
Look, I don't want to be mean, but I was reading that going, this is just a plot of Star Wars.
Just a plot of Star Wars. Just a plot, like it's just a basic plot, though. It's bad guy do bad thing, little guy fight back. That's it. That is most conflict, to be fair.
Do you know what it is? It's Star Wars and Dune put together.
Yeah, but it's Dune, but not from the little rich boy's perspective.
No, it's from the village the Fremen's perspective.
Yeah, but also, like, I just don't... I get that as like a movie, like a one and done movie, but if he's doing a franchise out of this, you have to then keep upping the stakes, and then you get a Death Star.
He literally has come out and said he wants it to become a massive IP and a universe that can be built out. I've spent the last 2 or 3 years building out this universe. Every corner has to be painted in. I've been doing designs, constantly drawing, and basically just making the whole world fully realised.
I mean, that's okay. Imagine Star Wars, but they plan it out. Ooh, wouldn't that be insane?
Oh, this could be good.
Jeez, I have the Snyder Bros on side, but now the Star Wars fans are after me. What am I going to do?
Now, what I will say is that they've already greenlit a Rebel Moon sequel.
Really? They're allowed to call a space fantasy epic Rebel Moon, and Disney is fine with that?
Yeah.
Wow. Fair play.
Why?
Yeah. It just feels like that could be a Star Wars title, you know?
It could, but at the same time, it's nothing like Star Wars, because this is from the villagers' perspective. They're fighting back against some sort of overlords.
What about, what kind of weapons do they have? Is it like...
Oh, blasty laser shooty shoots?
Any light swords going on?
Not light sword, light axes.
Light axes, that actually, yeah. Okay.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Does
sound fast. I'm on board with that. You know what, Connor? I'd give it a sequel and another sequel.
Two sequels. I'd have had three movies. I want a trilogy and I want laser axes.
Look, let's be positive, but maybe it'll be class. And no, we always complain, people don't make new things anymore.
It's one of those where I was like, you know what, it's so batshit and it's so like... This is clearly like based off of Dune and Star Wars, but everything's been done. So
Star Wars is based off Dune. Like it's all a big circle.
I'll tell you something though. Zack Snyder, if he pulls out a good movie that's like Star Wars in a world where Star Wars at the minute is not is untouchable because they fucked it up so bad.
Yeah,
I would be. You know what? So impressed that I would take back everything I said about him and Batman versus Superman.
Wow, that is a big claim. And you know Army of the Dead was pretty good.
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. I just still cannot get over him being like, guys, you don't understand the character when it came to Batman with the gun.
Yeah.
He never lived that down. But at the same time, he's good at certain takes, is Zach.
You know, and he can do a spectacle, which I feel he will need in a space movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to bring that to you because... This is going on in the background. It could be pretty good. It could be terrible. At the minute, it's completely Schrodinger's Rebel Moon.
And maybe it's best that it stays that way. And just it's a good movie in our imagination, you know? Like this podcast. I like that
we're giving him... In our heads, we're like putting up a whole plot. Like, oh, that could be fucking... Actually, that could be pretty good.
Yeah, Jez, if they take this angle with it, then...
Take a few Star Wars stories. Change a few of the words. Like from the comic books, not from the movies. Like, take a few comic books, change some of your favourite plot points, maybe refine them, make them a little bit better. And then you got a movie on your hands, bud.
Then he accidentally makes Dune again.
Oh, no! I hate when I accidentally make Dune.
I went too far the other way.
So we're moving on to our next piece of news. And this is a pretty big announcement that made one man in particular very happy. And that's a very large man in Hollywood, Mr. Dave Bautista. As the Gears of War movie and animated series were announced coming to Netflix.
Okay, so Dave Bautista is built like a Gears of War character.
Yes.
So I can only assume he's been cast as Dom, I want to say.
Look, what I will say is Dave Bautista has spent years basically saying he wants to be in the fucking movie. He's a massive fan of Gears of War and has personally pitched a movie adaptation to Warner Brothers multiple times. They have passed on it every single time. But he's like, I'm the guy. I should be in this movie. And I should be playing him.
I can do this. I can bring him to life.
And so he wants to play Marcus Fenix.
Oh yeah, that makes more sense.
So that's the character he wants to play. He thinks if you look at Marcus Fenix and you look at Dave Bautista, it's like a character was built in a video game for only one man on this earth to play, and that is Dave Bautista.
Yeah, so, it's like when they started drawing Professor X as Patrick Stewart. It's like it's basically the same man.
So I can understand that. Also, if he likes the video game, he's like, this could be a really good movie. We should do it well and I'll be in it. And also, now I'm Dave Bautista, I have a bit of, you know, stock.
Yeah, and this is like Henry Cavill being cast as The Witcher. Where it's like, you get someone who's a massive fan of the franchise and will do it every justice and fight to get it accurate on set. Then get rid of him for Liam Hemsworth.
Get rid of him because he's too uppity. He knows too much.
You know, he keeps telling the writers, no, this isn't what the character would do.
He said one too many times, he said, that doesn't make any sense. We have to fucking get rid of him. Him and his fucking handsome face. Get out of here, Henry. Yeah, dickhead. You know,
when he made the announcement about being back as Superman, he was wearing a Warhammer shirt, Connor. He's a big nerd. I love the man so much.
Henry Cavill is like, you're a hero, really, of the Warhammer community.
We've accepted him as our new god. That's true.
Yeah, well, I assumed. Yeah,
he's just it's an absolute Chad move.
What's the deal in terms of D&D? Then is he seen as the god there as well? Or
no, that's more of a Joe Manganiello / Matthew Mercer type. Yeah,
two pretty good fucking buff leaders. To be fair,
you know what? Like they're going to defend all of us at the end of the day
because none of you can defend yourselves.
Depending on how the dice go, I can defend myself, Connor.
Just like a robber comes in. Hang on. Just 2 seconds, please.
Do you know what? I'm
a man for a Winter Assault 40k Warhammer.
Connor. Jeez, you're speaking
kind of
my language.
Campaigns myself. Yeah, I'm not trying to impress you, Sean.
I've basically served. What can I say?
What can I say? I'm a man for the army games back in the day.
On the computer, though, right?
No. Real life.
Oh, class.
So I mean, what do you think of this idea? So they're bringing Gears of War. It's going to be live action. Sean, this crosses the one sacred line we have. Video game movies always bad, no matter what the movie is. What are Detective Pikachu and there was another one that I always forget.
Sonic
was pretty good. Looked pretty terrible at the start. Yeah. But they fixed it.
Yeah, they fixed it.
Do you remember World of Warcraft came out a few years ago? Everyone kind of forgot that.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was real bad. What was the other video game movie then? There was one other good
Assassin's Creed is the one we always forget.
Oh, I always forget that they made that a movie.
Even though Fassbender's in it, we always forget.
Do you know who else is in that movie for no goddamn reason?
Who?
Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, he is! They took all the Irish down with them, the bastards. is this going to be like Doom? Or is this going to be like... Do you remember The Rock was in Doom?
Oh, yeah,
or is this going to be maybe a Detective Pikachu scenario?
I think it's going to be closer to Detective Pikachu than Doom. Not in tone, but in quality.
Hopefully in tone as well.
But I only hope that like this comes out the same year as that fucking... is it Need for Speed Hot Pursuit is coming out?
No, there's a Gran Turismo movie.
Sorry.
There's a Gran Turismo movie coming out.
Yeah, I only hope these come out in like the same month as each other and we can like really compare.
I have a random piece of news about the Gran Turismo movie. Ginger Spice from the Spice Girls is in the movie.
What? Why the fuck is that relevant?
I learned that today during the research for this show. Now you know it. That's the way we gotta work this.
Is she appearing as Ginger Spice?
I'm pretty sure she's playing a different character. Like she's just acting in it.
Right. Okay. And explain that. What's that like?
What acting?
Acting. Yeah.
The concept of acting. She's becoming somebody she's not.
Is that not illegal? Is that not fraud?
Well, it is fraud, but it's kind of like in a selected area, normally called a set. That they would have a specific area where, like, you're allowed to pretend here as much as you want, lads. But once you leave this area, you cannot actually take someone's wallet and become them.
Right, you have to be a regular person.
That's
like
normally
Jared
how
Leto
I feel.
Does on film sets.
Like who?
Like Jared Leto.
Jared is—he's not really accepted in any sort of circles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just because of all the terrible things he's done and said.
No, that does track. What about Daniel Day-Lewis? What's his deal?
He's iffy. You know, he is iffy. I get bad vibes from him, but he's Irish, so do we have to support him?
He's Irish and quite good at acting, I suppose.
He's Irish and definitely the most successful actor of like all time, and he's Irish, so do we support him? But weird vibes. I just think be nice to people.
Yeah, just act. Just turn it on.
You're all getting up at 6 in the morning to go to work, lads. Just maybe talk like a normal person.
Just maybe bring donuts with you or something.
I don't know, man. Also, the Gears of War creator, Cliff Bleszinski, he has come out and said that he would love that Dave Bautista is in the upcoming adaptation along with Ryan Reynolds. So he has come out, the creator has come out and be like, Dave Bautista, Ryan Reynolds, they're locked in. If you got the two of them locked in, this movie could be good.
Yeah, because it would have that mix of like, they'd be the two like brotherly characters playing off each other. Mm. But then you get like heart and comedy and action all together.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I could see Ryan Reynolds doing a movie like this. When was the last time he did something like this that wasn't Deadpool?
He was in R.I.P.D., Connor. Remember R.I.P.D.?
Yeah, like 2009. My Hitman's Bodyguard.
Yeah, but even that's closer to Deadpool than an action movie, I would say.
Yeah.
Let's look through Ryan Reynolds' IMDb. What's he up to?
I've been watching Welcome to Wrexham a lot.
Is it actually any good?
It's really good, yeah.
You don't have to like anything, Sean.
Yeah, you get straight into it, they'll explain everything.
He was in The Adam Project, Red Notice.
Adam Project's pretty good.
Yeah. You got Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, there you go. Six Underground? What the fuck is that? He was in Taylor Swift, You Need to Calm Down, a music video short.
No way.
Yeah. Detective Pikachu. Then a whole bunch of Deadpool stuff. Like all the Deadpool shorts and shit that they put out.
Do you see a Gears of War movie working, Sean? Or
honestly,
will it be
I do.
Lost? Will it be lost like, within the ages?
I think it might be. I think it's weird because I think enough time has passed now that there isn't like an active Gears of War. Like Gears of War 1, 2, 3 were like excellent and like really, really loved and everything like that. And now it's like just whenever the new Xbox comes out, there's a Gears of War made.
Yeah, it's kind of like an add-on.
Yeah, exactly. So I think those original three have existed on their own for long enough that people are like, and that's that story. And now you can maybe do a retelling and have it be different enough that people aren't offended with it.
I'm just happy for Dave. Dave has wanted this for so long and I just want him to do well. And I think he won't let it be bad.
No. But I also think we've said it before that Dave Bautista like is just like criminally underused by Hollywood.
Yes.
So, and like, give him the good roles. Don't just give him a strong, fun guy.
But you know what's so good? It's like, he's underused, but also I think he only chooses good projects. Like, I don't think, like, he said it before, when he finished wrestling, it would have been really easy for him to do a load of, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme type movies, where, like, he's just a big, muscly guy, and, like, The Equalizer, or fucking Taken or so, where he's, like, just butchering through people. And he was like, I didn't want to have that. I want to learn to act. I didn't want to just do those movies for the rest of my life.
Yeah, like, I want to be challenged, and I want to make good things. Yeah, The Equalizer is a bit of fun, though, to be fair.
Oh, The Equalizer is fun, but I'm saying it's fun because, I mean, that's a few years in. Whereas Dave's always starting, and you don't want to get typecast that role for the rest of time.
No, yeah, you don't want to just be, oh, the wrestler who's sometimes in action movies.
Because The Rock had that for a few years. Like, for the first, like, 7 or 8 years, he was
Cena
just like,
had it as well.
Like, Cena has that as well before Peacemaker. Like, now, but no, actually, Cena was pretty good because he chose comedy roles. He chose a lot of comedy roles that made him the butt of the joke.
Yeah, the Fred movie, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think he's pretty good at, like, making fun of himself, whereas The Rock did have, like, a few years where he was always in the jungle. Like, Welcome to the Jungle, The Rundown, there was a few
Jungle
of them.
Jungle Cruise?
Like,
Jumanji?
From 04
Rampage?
To, like, 04 to, like, 09. It was, like, proper, like, always action hero.
He was in that one where he was the Tooth Fairy?
That was 2010, yeah.
There's that one where he was a football man? He played football or his daughter or
Gridiron? Gridiron Games?
Gridiron Gang? Not Gridiron Gangs, that's a different thing.
It was the guy from Pimp My Ride.
Yeah, Exhibit.
Exhibit. What a blast from the past.
What is that
like,
movie?
We put flat screen TVs on your mud caps. He's like, why do I need that?
Hey, it's 2009. We gave you a PlayStation 2. I hope that's fine.
Hope that's good. We ran out of money after the mud caps.
The game plan. He was in the game plan,
of course. Sean, we're going to have to move on from this, because I do have two other pieces of news to get to before we finish out today. And we didn't say at the start, because obviously for obvious reasons, but if you give us a like and review, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, it would really help us out. We're aiming for 100 reviews on Spotify by the end of the year. So yeah. I don't know what we're on now, but go give us a 5 stars or a thumbs up or whatever, however it works. I don't know.
Or 4 stars. That's
fine. Or 3 if you think we're mediocre. I'll take
that. Please don't
go
lower than that, though. God, I can't take it.
Maybe a 2. Maybe if we're having a real bad day.
One person can leave a 2.
Me. I've left multiple 2s. So we're moving on to DC Universe. Continuity. It could be solved. We could have finally solved it.
Big news.
As a report has come out that apparently the newly christened DC Universe seems poised to not only extend well beyond the live-action feature films, as the DC continuity reportedly spreads across, from now on, all movies, TV, gaming, and more, they said.
Okay, so from this point on,
yes,
anything that's released is all connected.
To build a cohesive DC universe that is going across all live action films, TV, animation, and gaming.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a very nice thing to aim for.
I love the idea of, like, you're on the absolute opposite end of the scale. Like, you're 400 pounds, and then you're like, I'm going to drop to 1 pound.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the opposite.
Yeah, like, it's... I'm all about dreaming big, okay? Yes. But maybe make 2 films that work really well together, and then try a third. And then start planning this.
Now, what I will say is neither James Gunn nor Peter Safran have said this. Now, it's back to one of our favourite friends, Mr. Zaslav, the Warner Brothers Discovery CEO, David Zaslav.
Chill Zaslav.
Who's a bit of a dick, to be honest, as we've covered. But he's always doing meetings.
He just doesn't speak like a human, is my issue.
No, he just talks in that business lingo that you get in LinkedIn, as we've discussed.
He's the human soundbite, anyway.
He's the human soundbite. And so when he's come out with, he says, from now on, I've talked to James Gunn, I've talked to Peter Safran. They have told me, for sure, that from now on, they're aiming for every single thing to be connected. Through gaming, through animation. So, like, any animated shows that come out from now on will link back into the DC universe that they're building in live-action movies. Mm. And then TV shows. And then games also have to be there.
I don't think that's good. I like some things to be separate.
But they're all or nothing.
They can't fathom. But wait, like, they're still gonna put out like Joker 2 and shit like that, right?
Yeah, but show up. How about that? So, like, yeah, like they are technically coming out, but they were all happening before they arrived.
Okay, so anything that's announced from this point on then is gonna be. But would it not be nice to be like, hey, here's a Superman game. That's not, like, that we don't have to, because, so, I'm trying to phrase this. So, imagine a video game.
I can't, but yeah, go on.
You need so much more content in that than you do in a 2-hour movie.
Mm.
Which means you then have all of this content that gets used and maybe has its first exposure to people in a game, that then if you want to pull from that in the future, you might be less likely to do so because it's already been touched on and canonically, that Superman knows what happened with that character.
Look, I think what you're doing is making a lot of nuanced, very reserved and thoughtful points.
Right.
But on the opposite end, What if we went all fucking in, just balls to the wall, one way, and let's just see what fucking happens?
I'm overwhelmed by how much Marvel stuff is coming out and how I have to keep up with it all.
They're all connected.
I don't want to play a 30-hour game to understand the next Batman movie.
It also skips over the point of not only do they have Joker coming out, but the Batman has two more sequels lined up with Matt Reeves.
I guess you could argue they're not DC Universe. They're just,
yeah, so that's kind of the out. They're just DC, like, alternate universe.
Yeah, but the next Superman thing will tie into, like, the next Aquaman is what they're saying. Or they'll be connected. But does it connect with the previous stuff?
But then they also have lots of non-DCU television series, such as Superman and Lois and The Flash. Yeah. And then you also have Teen Titans Go. You have Sandman on Netflix. Harley Quinn is on HBO Max. Titans, Doom Patrol. None of them are in the DCU. But they're all currently going out. So what do you do? Just stop production. And then go, from now on, everybody's going in the same direction.
If they touch Sandman Season 2, I will never watch another DC project again.
Stop talking shit.
Connor, I need it. It's so good. Have you watched it? Look,
I haven't actually.
It's really good. You'd love it.
Is it?
You'd actually think it's class.
Well, man, I'll tell you what. I'm watching that when you watch Young Justice.
I've already watched Young Justice.
You haven't watched
It's like the Justice League, but they're kids. See, I know everything.
I've watched Sandman. He falls into a pit. And because then they're like, oh, it's just probably a bird when the extra weight is there. And then it whirs up.
Thinking of Spider-Man 3, Connor.
Yeah, with the Sandman.
No, you couldn't be more wrong.
That's not technically wrong.
No.
Technically, I am correct.
In context, you're being a dick.
Okay, that's different. But I'm a right dick. So, Sean, what do you think of this new game plan? They're going balls to the wall, all in one direction.
I mean, it is a bold strategy. Let's see if it pays off. But I think as a viewer or someone who consumes the content, having everything be connected and linked and dependent on each other isn't necessarily the best thing in the world. There are a reason why, like, one-shot comics are a thing, where you can just tell a story and not have it be affecting the rest of the world.
But from their point of view, what do Marvel do? Marvel have everything connected. All on Disney Plus.
That's fair. How have Marvel's films done in the last year and a half?
I understand that, but you have to remember DC are continuously 5 years behind, and so they're looking across and they're like, that's what's working for them. Right, so everything's linked. So can I tell you a nightmare scenario, whereas we've got four Marvel series coming out a year, four DC series coming out a year, all linked into every movie.
Here's my thing, though, is that if we do get DC series, don't put them all on HBO Max. Put them somewhere that the entire world can watch them.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And also, don't do that. And Marvel, stop making so much stuff.
But what about Agatha?
Oh, the Coven of Chaos, Connor?
I just can't imagine a world where, like, one of them's bad enough to, like, watch all that shit.
Like,
and now, and, like, we do this every week, and we're still like, oh my god, there's so many.
Yeah, I have not had time to see Black Panther, which is a film I'm actually somewhat excited for.
It's so weird. You're, like, so inundated with everything. You're like, yeah, okay, yeah, I get to Black Panther. Whereas if there was no other content and Black Panther comes out, you're like, can't fucking wait. I'm going this week.
Yeah, like, there's so much all the time. I think we're just burnt out, bud. I think we're just so sick of it.
No, I think it's just because there's so much to keep up with. I think probably everyone's feeling the same. I can only assume. Like, all the movies are not doing as well as they maybe once did. Because I think a lot of people are feeling pretty similar. That it's like, there's a lot to keep up with. Although Black Panther started off to massive openings, and I think it's like 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. So,
could be a
pretty big deal. Yeah, we're finishing off this week with news from Marvel, and it's pretty big news. Tom Holland reportedly closes deal for Spider-Man 4.
Okay, I imagine they paid him a boatload of money to come back.
Now, this could be pretty big in terms of knock-on effects for the next few phases.
Yeah, because, like, where do we spoil where Spider-Man is at the minute? It's been out a year.
Yeah, look, I think it's been nearly a year. If you haven't seen Spider-Man No Way Home, at this point, what can we do? But yes, yeah. Spoilers for Spider-Man No Way Home.
Because Spider-Man now is where no one remembers him. No one knows who Peter Parker is. He's living on his own in his apartment. He's got no help from the Avengers or whatnot. That's where comic book Spidey generally lives. For better or worse, he's just always kind of ends up in that space. So now it feels like they're going to be telling more comic-inspired Spider-Man stories rather than what has been like him just existing in the MCU and reacting to things around him, which have been fun.
And now, what I will say is just to give us some levity, Sony and Holland have not responded to these recent reports, but all the reports have come out, multiple reports have come out as saying that he has signed a deal for Spider-Man 4. Now, it does not include Disney Plus appearances, so he won't be appearing in Daredevil Born Again or any of that stuff, sadly. But it does mean that we know about. But it does mean that at the moment, if we're locked in for a Spider-Man 4, it does tell us that they have to go further with No Way Home. So now nobody remembers him. I was of the opinion, and I might be wrong, even though I love Tom Holland, I think they should have left it. Because I think that's a perfect ending to that, like, journey that, like, he has everything and then he loses it all and then Spider-Man's got a star again and this movie ends with him at Christmas swinging through with the beautiful suit and you're like, that's just him starting off as Spider-Man. We don't need to see any more. But I can also understand he's a money cow and Tom Holland is beloved and like
as that character
easy.
and to Tom Holland's credit, I think he doesn't want to do Spider-Man for the rest of his life. He's been quite clear about that. So I feel like if he signed on, there's probably an end point in mind. I'd say there'd be 2, maybe 3 more Spider-Man films and then we might switch out to like Miles or something like that.
I think you won't even get 3. I think maybe you'll get Spider-Man 4 and after that, he might just make 1 or 2 appearances in other movies.
See, I think they're going to get him up to Secret Wars, and that's how Miles gets brought in. And then,
but I think you can get to Secret Wars with only one movie. As in, like, Spider-Man 4, he's there, and then Secret Wars happens, and he appears in that. There's apparently a massive shift, by the way, from Marvel, who are trying to bring everyone back for Secret Wars.
Oh, really?
To bring them all in, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense that in Secret Wars, of all things, you just bring everyone back for one movie. I don't know. I don't feel like people will comfortably say, maybe it's a pulling the plaster off situation, but I don't know if people will say goodbye to that Spider-Man with only one more movie.
Well, if you have the one movie and then he like gets... Oh, here's my question to you, is would you like him to have Ned and MJ remember him? Or would you like to see a movie where he has to rebuild that? Or is that weird if we like already have that, we've already seen that growth and now we have to just rewatch the same arc again?
I think, see, I don't even know what I want with is the thing. But I just feel I know what we're going to get, which is that Marvel are going to do, we're going to get Death of Gwen Stacy. That's going to happen. We're going to get Ned Leeds as Hobgoblin. And we are going to get Peter opening the door to MJ and her saying, face a tiger, you just hit the jackpot. Those like iconic comic book moments, they need to check those off with the MCU Spider-Man, I feel.
But Sony are so dumb that they might not.
They might not. But also, like, we've not had a Green Goblin. Like, and that's not just a Spider-Man villain, that's a Peter Parker personal villain. We have had a Green Goblin, but we haven't had, like, Harry Osborn and Oscorp and all the shit that goes on with that.
Here's what I don't want. I don't want Tom Holland signs back on. Tommy Netherlands, he's locked in. They're like, we've got him. Venom to come in. Oh yes, we've got him for another movie. We got Venom. We're building the Spider-Verse. Yes, this is what we've wanted.
I would like, not Venom in 4, certainly. But give me a street level Spider-Man movie where he's just stopping crime. And like, it's the Kingpin is the big bad at the end, or it's Tombstone, or, you know, like, just like, he's fighting a gang, he's being smart, he's tracking them down, you know?
And he's I think you're thinking of Batman.
No, Connor, because they're quite similar in that they're both vigilantes.
Spider-Man's not a vigilante.
Spider-Man is the definition of a vigilante.
What are you talking about? He's working with the police. Normally, the police like Spider-Man.
Sometimes they like him, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they have a tense relationship. Sometimes there's one good cop who will allow Spider-Man in on police investigations, Connor.
Oh, is he played by J.K. Simmons?
Yeah, and he's really strung out by the end of it.
if these reports are true, very, very big get for Sony, because I think a lot of us would have been like, if he didn't do any more, Tom Holland go off and do other movies. Like, he's a very talented human being.
True.
He probably wants to do other movies. But if they can get him back, I want to say I'd love to see it, because I'd like to see Tom Holland in the role. But also, as I mentioned, I just love that ending. That, like, we don't need to see anything else. Like,
it's a really good ending, but I think it leaves too many questions. And like, to never see Spider-Man again would be weird.
For me, as like someone viewing it, I think it's a perfect ending for the character. But if I ran any sort of studio, I could see millions upon millions of dollars left on the table if we didn't do a follow-up to that ending.
Yeah. Yeah, like, every Spider-Man movie makes bajillions of dollars. But the next one after that ending will do even better than No Way Home, I would wager.
Yeah, fuck me. I don't know if you have the Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire hype.
Genuinely.
What if Andrew's in it?
Well, what if they come back for Secret Wars is the thing.
What if Into the Spider-Verse 2 has Tom Holland?
Could do. It's nothing stopping.
So, Sean, I think that's it for this week's movie news.
What a week, Connor. Would you like me to take us out?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We'll be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero Zero, and next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon who supports the show. Shoutouts go to Roisin, Chunky Lopes Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Technically Fine Evanson, Waffles the Magic, David Clark, Sean Chuckin' in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever Helm Roos, Danny McLaughlin, No One's Ever Really Gone, Luke Hoth, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Buster, Ed Ball, Sean, Connor and Lorraine, and Russ, put some respect on the Incredible Hulk's name, Parfit. Thank you all so, so much for the support. You're absolutely wonderful people. Head on over to patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast if you want to support us over there. There is also the merch store link below, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Conor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
I shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.